So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 38, Text 12, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yasya kilamiva, yasya kilamiva habisu mangalai vacho vamishra gunakarma janmavihi pananti shubhanti punanti vai jagat yastad virakta shavasho banamata. All sins are destroyed and all good fortune is created by the Supreme Lord's qualities, activities, and appearances. And words that describe these three things animate, beautify, and purify the whole world. On the other hand, words bereft of his glories are like the decoration on a corpse. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmalatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupakadhamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasade Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from Vrindavan. Right now with my team, I'm on my Vrindavan marathon. There's so many, groups coming right now. Raghunath's group is here and people from upstate New York. And it's just wonderful to see how deeply people become inspired in Krishna consciousness by the facility that the Dham gives to remember and associate with Krishna. Actually, in the classes, sometimes there's 25 people from America, different countries, etc. So this story of Akura, it's kind of a very significant story because it illustrates how one goes to Krishna. Now, I've mentioned this many times, our distance between God is a matter of consciousness. It's not a matter of miles. Because God is beyond our time and space. And at the same time, Mayatatam Vidam Sarvam Jagata Vyaktamun, he's pervading everything. That was the story of Prahlad Maharaj when he was a challenge, is when his father, the demon Hiranyakashipu, challenged him, is he in this pillar? And he said, yes. And then, you know, where is your God? Is he in this pillar? And then he appeared. So it's not a physical distance. It's a distance of consciousness. And we negotiate that distance or reach our destination of God by faith. Now, I want to define faith here. I've been honing on this theme for a while. I want to define faith as our attraction for something. We move towards something by our attraction for that thing. attraction is, you know, just like a piece of metal, a magnet, and there's metal. There's attraction or a force that there's an attraction or a force that brings us that brings them together. So our faith, and what is our faith? Our faith is in the value of what we're trying to achieve. That moves us towards the goal, just like someone may go to university. The value they ascribe to that degree will be the value they ascribe to that degree will be the force that moves them towards that objective of getting that degree. And it's the same thing with God. Our faith, the extent that we value it. And valuing God means to understand God and means to experience God. Faith is developed by our understanding and our experience. The initial faith is our experience. We experience that this objective is good because we get a drop of a taste of what that objective is. That's called the Bhakti Lata Beach. It's an experience, and that experience gives us the conception or idea that this is a worthy goal. And when it's shraddha or faith, it's not only a worthy goal, it's the most worthy goal. Not worthy, it's the most worthy goal. This is why it's so important to hear the Bhagavatam. Because when we hear about Krishna from someone who has attraction to Krishna, someone who can communicate that message, it increases our faith. It increases our faith that this is our objective and this is our goal. So it's the mind that brings one to Krishna. It's not a vehicle. It's the mind in the condition of appreciation. And of God that brings us to God. And when you have that faith, obviously, you can overcome any goal because you ascribe, when you have faith, you ascribe a high value to that object, and therefore you're willing to pay the price for it. And then that price includes the obstacles to it. And look at the example of Prabhupada's faith and the obstacles he had to undergo. But why? Because he valued so much the objective that he felt that the austerities that he had to undergo to achieve it was a small price to pay. And faith is not I believe or not believe. I made that many times. It's a level of that conviction. It's trust by experience. By that practice of Krishna consciousness, we have to sit on our asana and concentrate over a period of time without interruption, the right mood, and experience God. That faith has to be renewed unless it recedes. You know, I'm just coming to mind right now, and I'm going to get to the story of Akura, but I'd like to give a background. I've told this story many, many times that I had a uncle, Rabbi Alexander Good, and he was a very educated and dynamic person. very, very educated. The PhD from Johns Hopkins, which is one of the best schools. And he volunteered in World War II. And in fact, Henry's listening, and he once arranged that I could give a lecture at St. Albans, which is the school he went to. And it's quite an established and renowned school. Many children of politicians and prominent people. And it was really an honor for me to speak there. And when I went into the church, they had a stained glass window, I believe it was stained glass window, of my uncle. It was called the Four Chaplains. There were four. He volunteered, so he became a chaplain. And as the story went, he was on the USS Dorchester, and there were four chaplains, two Protestants, one Catholic, and one Jew. And then the ship was, they were going and the ship was sunk, and people had to get off the ship, and they were getting on the lifeboats, and there weren't enough lifeboats, and the four chaplains stayed on the ship and let other people get off, and even sacrificed. There was a story of my uncle where one young sailor was panicking. He forgot his gloves, and you wouldn't be able to survive. It's by Greenland. The ship went from Greenland, so it's freezing. So even if you got on the boat, you wouldn't survive. And my uncle gave him his gloves. And then the person said, well, what about you? He said, I have another pair. He didn't have another pair. But when the ship sank, the people that survived saw the four chaplains on the ship as it went down, arm in arm, singing the Psalms of David. So just think about the faith they had. They valued God so much that giving up their life was a small price to pay in the service of the divine. So faith is everything. Nurturing and cultivating faith, being with people of faith, hearing from people of faith. So this story of the Bhagavatam is someone with that faith. What's bringing him towards Krishna? You can't buy a ticket. That means it's not a physical distance. It's some mercy. But mercy comes to one who is receptive to it also. So we see his consciousness and how much he is valuing that goal. And the more you have faith, the more you have humility. Because the more you have faith, the more you value, the gifts of devotion you have. And the more you value something you have that's beyond your ability to pay for it, the more undeserving you feel to get it or to possess it or to hanker for it. So the greater a value something is that you're getting, the more it makes you reflect on your lack of ability to pay for it. So they're all connected, this feelings of faith, this appreciation of the divine, the feelings of mercy one feels, the feelings of humility. So it's really a story, and you see as his mind is just increasing his appreciation, and he becomes overwhelmed because he understands that Just the effulgence of the lotus feet of Krishna enables one to overcome the insurmountable ocean of material existence. Insurmountable because our desires for liberation, our desires for enjoyment, our desires for enjoyment go on birth after birth after birth, even though they're not fulfilling, even though they disconnect us from the soul, even though we suffer so much on that platform, so insurmountable that we can't give up what's bad for us simply because it gives us some sensual or ego gratification, even though it's degrading the mind and making us despondent. But many souls in the past, just by the effulgence, and he's thinking, and now I will pay obeisances to those feet. So he's he's in this mood of appreciation and gratitude, which is enabling him to experience God's love through the gifts of devotion that he has. And I'm just going to go through some verses today, starting with this verse 12, because that's where I'm up to. As he's continuing to appreciate Krishna, the destination he seems destined to be achieved, the objective that he appears destined to achieve very soon. So he's talking about the qualities of Krishna and of Krishna's, his qualities, his activities, and his appearance. And how these qualities create all fortune. How hearing about Krishna's qualities, his activities, and appearance, all sins are destroyed. And Sumangalai, it's most auspicious. Vrindavan is very auspicious. You look at Krishna's pastimes, Vrindavan residents are considered Sumangalai, they're very auspicious. And auspiciousness generally has three categories. You're healthy and happy, you're opulent and you have what you need, and you have perfect relationships. So in Vrindavan, everyone is healthy and happy, everyone is opulent, all their needs are provided, and there's perfect relationships between the people. But the real auspiciousness is, along with those qualities, their minds are filled with Krishna. And why is that auspicious? Because when you think of Krishna, you feel your relationship with Krishna, which is love. And that love is the essence of the pleasure potency, and therefore it is the greatest happiness. So someone who actually in his mind is thinking about Krishna, he's considered Mahatma. Later on it says Mahatma. He's got a great mind. A great mind. Because you're thinking about Krishna, you're not thinking about yourself. You're not thinking about your ego, your superiority, your control. When you think about Krishna, you're thinking of love. You're feeling Krishna. That's what thinking about Krishna means. It's feeling Krishna. So, Sumangalai, by hearing about this, great fortune arises. Shreya Karaiva Chandrikaranam, that the lotus of white fortune blossoms by the moon of Krishna. And what is that blossoming? What is that white lotus of auspiciousness? It's when those feelings of devotion come out of your heart. So this is Akura's Bhav. He's just thinking of Krishna in so many ways. He's valuing Krishna. And therefore, moving towards that object by that consciousness and faith. Therefore, he's considered Maha Mati. Mati means like mind, great mind. Described as great and Mahabhaga, the most fortunate person. Because ultimately, auspiciousness is happiness. And happiness comes from devotion. So he's thinking, I'm going to see this person whose qualities, activities, and appearances create great fortune, and Akila Amiva Habi, of whom all sins are destroyed. Bhava Maha Devagni Nirvapanam. It extinguishes the fire of material existence, which is that selfishness born of the ego, the false ego. And not only that, but this person that I'm going to see and we're going to see, words that describe these things, words that describe the qualities, the activities and appearance of this person, they animate, beautify, and purify the whole world. Animate means give life. These words give life. I recommend you read Prabhupada's books every day. You will get life. Life is the soul, and so the soul is consciousness, which reaches its fruition in devotion. You hear these words, and you hear this message, and you hear these words, and you feel these words. That message is God. That's why it's so important to hear from people who know the Shastra, who can explain that message. Because if you hear the message, not a person's agenda, but if you actually hear that message is Krishna. And you will feel Krishna because we have that eternal Jivira Sarupa Hoy Krishnara Nityada. We have that eternal relationship with Krishna. So words that describe these qualities, these activities, Janmavi, his appearance, they animate, beautify, and pure. Animate means it gives life. It gives life. If you can think of a Krishna conscious center, but there's no person, qualified person that's giving, there's no person, qualified person that's giving quality Krishna katha. That's what gives life to people. Because it creates faith, and faith is also life. Because faith is actually the nature of the soul, part of God. When Chaito Darpanam Harjanam, when by the holy name, the consciousness becomes clear, then you see God, and seeing God means feel God. What you're feeling is who you are. So it's the fish in water, but not just the water, not just the relief from pain. But the sumangalam, the auspiciousness, that devotion, that consciousness of love and devotion comes out of the heart. So these words animate. And because these words animate, books are the basis. All great souls produce books. Prabhupada wrote books. Why? To animate, to give life to people. Without Krishna Katha, a temple has no life. Without devotees singing the glories of the Lord, a city has no life. It's like here, it says, when there's words bereft of his glories, it's like the decoration of a corpse. It's attractive, but there's no life. Therefore, commit an offense against New York City, but it's a graveyard. If the Bhakti Center is not in New York City, it's a graveyard. Because there's no life without this guitar. There's no value unless something has life. And Krishna Katha gives life and then decorates life. The wives of the Brahmins, their hearing is described, their prolonged hearing of Krishna's glories from the gopis when they're buying milk and butter and flowers from the gopis, it's described as the ornament of their ears and beautifies. I have to say, I was here and I'm so happy how I'm seeing Raghunath here and how his children have matured and developed so nicely and with values of Krishna consciousness. They're beautiful children, but that's what makes them beautiful. You could really see it. One time a sadhu was looking in the mirror. He was very vain, but he thought he was good looking. And another sadhu came by and said, "What are you looking at? There's no compassion there." And if we think of it, that's what a beautiful person is. Beautiful person is their heart, is their devotion, is their sacrifice, is their compassion, is their gratitude, it's their humility. That's a beautiful person. And really, I'm here in Vrindavan, and it's a beautiful place. Even though it's being covered by so many things, but it has the people. It has the people. You know, one of the verses is going to describe, it's very interesting. It's coming later on. It says, Trishimad, for those who have eyes, Mahotsavam, it's a great festival. Seeing Krishna brings a festival to the eyes. It brings a festival to the eye. And seeing that in Vrindavan, honestly, like no place else, what makes it beauty? The consciousness of the people. You know, Prakasananda Saraswati in Vrindavan Mahimamrita, he glorifies Vrindavan to the nth degree. And he says, I'd rather hear the idle talk of the Brijvasis than attain love of God at any place else. Now, there's something here. There's something here about the simple people who are born here, the town of devotees. That's the real beauty of the place, beyond the external physical presentation of Vrindavan, which at least in the city is lacking in ways, but the real beauty is the heart. And Krishna consciousness, Krishna, the words that glorify Krishna's activities, qualities, they make the heart beautiful. Because they bring out these qualities. And of course, purify the world. So Akura is saying, I'm going to see that person who just words describing him are so powerful. And then, Akura begins to think, if Krishna's glories pervade the three worlds, why does he come? And it describes, he residing in Vrindavan, performs his activities, and then the demigods perceive them, and then when they go back, they're singing songs of his glory. Again, Ashesha Mangalam. Before it said Sumangalam, very auspicious. This is Ashesha. This is unlimited auspiciousness for all. For all. And you know, he had his doubts. It's very interesting when Akura was there, when he reflected on his own qualities, he had his doubts. Will I be able to attain? And that's part of Krishna consciousness. We have to understand beyond the ego that Uttama Shloka Darshanam, to see that person who's glorified by the topmost verses, when we think of our qualification, I described this before, there's no hope, but then Achyuta Darshanam, when we think that he's infallible and he's merciful. So as our faith increases, on one level, as we value God more, we feel less and less qualified to be able ever be able to achieve the divine. But as our faith increases, we become more and more aware of God's mercy. So when he's thinking like this and he's heading to Vrindavan, he sees a deer on his right side. And he says, I will certainly see the Lord. There's actually a science of omens. I know it's true because I have some understanding of it. And I've seen, in terms of my own life, a prediction pretty much of the future that's so clear to me by certain omens. It's so clear. There's no doubt in my mind. And also is in the Shastra. It's like a car. You know, and there's, you know, the seatbelt's not on, a light goes on. So the universe is like that. When there's something wrong, then there's some symptoms of it. But a very interesting thing came up in the commentaries. You know, when you go on a journey, people say good journey because, you know, anything can happen on a journey. You could miss your plane. So many things can happen. Journeys are very, very difficult. I wrote in Monday Morning Greetings, it's one of the things that, it's one of the only things that really gets me nervous is traveling. But an auspicious thing, one of them, if you're traveling and you see Brahmins walking towards you with sacred texts, specifically the Bhagavatam and the Gita, it's the most auspicious omen. When I heard that, I was laughing a bit, because you know sometimes you know the devotees and their reputation, the airports and it, you know, kind of there was jokes on TV about it and things like that. But actually, in one sense, I was just thinking that it may have created incredible auspiciousness for America, as all these people in the airports were seeing these people with these books. But anyway, he says, I shall certainly see him. I shall certainly see God today. And he's becoming overwhelmed with God's mercy. And we should feel it like this, that we have the holy name, that we have Vaishnavas, that we have books. We should feel like faith, how valuable these things are. I'm seeing the people coming to Vrindavan here, and it's almost entering into this mystical world. They're experiencing it. They're coming in the right way. It's a mystical world. Who can visit a mystical world? You can go on vacation, but how many people can enter the rabbit hole of Alice in Wonderland? It's like that coming to Vrindavan. And he says, I shall certainly see him. The goal and spiritual master of the great souls, seeing him brings jubilation to all who have eyes. He is the true beauty of the universe. The true beauty of the universe, of Trilokim, of the three worlds. Indeed, his personal form is the shelter desired by the goddess of fortune. So the goddess of fortune has all wealth, but she wants Krishna because that's more valuable. And I will get that wealth today. Now all the dawns of my life have become auspicious. So this is a very, very interesting point. Again, they become sudarshan of auspicious to see. It's a good sight. Because I'm going to see Krishna. Because that's the objective. That's the goal. And we can look at this in our own lives. If you have some Krishna consciousness, you know, as we mature, as we mature in Krishna consciousness, you know, go through our growing up and our pains and our learning experiences, we become more solidified and fixed in devotional service. When we look back upon our lives, then the things we went through begin to have meaning because they help bring us to the point where we are now, to a higher level of consciousness where we can appreciate Krishna consciousness. So it makes the life we had successful, because everything that happened in our life, all our karma was meant to bring us closer to Krishna. And when you come closer to Krishna, you see the value of those things. You see the value of the difficulties and the troubles and the things you underwent. as part of the payment to attain the realizations we need to begin to become satisfied in heart with Krishna, with something that's eternal, with something that's full of bliss, with something that's full of knowledge. So, yeah, what is the theme of the world? The one thing that unifies everything, even apparently unrelated, everything that's happened is meant to bring us to Krishna. And when you come to Krishna, when you come to Vrindavan, when you come to the holy name, then your days have become successful in your life. Nothing was wasted. Every day you woke up, there was an experience of value to bring us closer to Krishna. And then what happens is he's envisioning what will happen, that I'll get down from my chariot and bow to the lotus feet of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God. I'll bow down and my left foot will be on Balaram's right, and my right hand will be on Balaram, my left hand will be on Krishna's feet. I'll be bowed down. I'll be before them. I'll have attained Prema Pumartha Mahan, Artha Mahan, the greatest wealth I will have obtained, which is love of Krishna. Because being with Krishna is synonymous of loving Krishna in this type of full realization. And then he's thinking that these feet that now I have bowed down to, these feet that I bow down to, the great mystic yogis, the great mystic yogis have dhyadhritam, held on to with their intelligence by yogi B. So this is what a yogi. Yogi is to steady the mind. And these type of yoga, it doesn't mean people are doing asanas. It means devotees. They may be in chantaras. They may be the tapasvis. They may be the munis who are remembering and meditating on God and his immanence and greatness. The same feat, which is the perfection of the intelligence, to actually hold them within your minds, which means your relationship with God, your true nitya dharma, your real essence. Those feet, I will pay obeisances to. And not only that, he says, but to the Lord's cowherd boys and all other residents of Vrindavan. Vana Okasha, to all the residents. Those things in relationship to Krishna. Prabhupada said, when you become Krishna conscious, you're thrilled at every moment because you understand that everything's related to Krishna and you feel inspired by remembering Krishna. And here in Vrindavan, with the associates of Krishna, you'll be paying your obeisances to all. To all. Okay, I'm going to finish for today, you know, because it's the night here. But if there are any questions or anybody has any reflections of something in the class that struck them as significant, you can share. I know by Sheshkabhu, that's kind of really nice. Anybody like to share anything or ask any questions? Or just say hello.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
So great to hear you guys. Wow. Wonderful. Plan your next trip soon. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Hi, Krishna.
Just a quick comment that the whole class was great, but it's the first part of your class was especially relevant for me. So thank you for that. Hi, Krishna.
Okay, thanks. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. This is Lee.
Lee and Bree, Haribo. Bree, I got your letter. I owe you one. I know that. That's behind in my mail. There's so many people here now. It's amazing. Who else would like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Mukunda.
Mukunda, I owe you a letter too. I'm so in my mind. Who else is there? Hello?
Sri Gandhari.
Haribo Maharaj.
Okay, I heard Sri Gandharvika. Tatiana, Haribo, Sri Gandharvika. Great. Okay, who else?
Hare Krishna Gumaraj, this is Kishori
and Priya.
And Tota Gopina.
Wow. Okay. Great. And that separation from the Dham. I have to say, this is just getting better and better. We have such a group here now, too. I mean, they're going to be leaving soon. A lot of people from upstate New York. Raghunath took a group, not just a yoga group. He took like level two, you know, just to my.
I've been seeing their pictures on the Instagram. It looks amazing.
Okay. All right, well, who else?
All right, well.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Okay, who said Hare Krishna? Haribo?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Sri Rupa?
Sri Rupa, Haribo. We will plan a visit when I get back, when you'll come to Vrindavan. That's the next thing.
That will be wonderful. Thank you.
Who else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Chaitanya Priya. Thanks for the class.
Thank you so much. A few more people and then we'll go. Well, thank Rati Krishna. It's such a better medium. I remember the phones that I struggled on and the classes. I can't believe what we went through to keep the classes going. This is such an easy thing. One press of the button and the reception is so good. It makes it easier. Okay, I'll head out now. Thank you all. Hare Krishna.